Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with me. I'm Bill Arnold. I'm awfully glad that we have this hour together. The first hour was a lot of fun. Thanks to Jason Stonehouse for coming into the studio. That was a very nice guy. Really enjoyed him and his book. And next hour is going to be equally fun. I've got Holly Melton coming out of the show in just a couple of minutes. And as we're getting close to the weekend, I hope you've got some great things planned for the weekend. I know there will be a lot of people in the card aisle at Walgreens thinking, uh-oh, got to get a card for Mother's Day. And that usually happens. I usually see the same guys all the time. But if you are thinking about words for your mother, make sure they're full of love and tenderness and appreciation, because I don't get to give my mom a Mother's Day card this year because I lost her about a year and a half ago. So it is always a little moment of pause, like, well, she's in heaven, so that's great, but I always miss her and I always think about her. And anyway, but to all you moms out there, you're just going to hear it from me. You're amazing. You're simply amazing. And all the hard work you do is sometimes it goes unnoticed, but certainly not the heavens. The heavens are always looking down upon you and they're thinking, wow, what a mom. So anyway, way to go. I'm going to take a little break, then bring on Holly.
You never know the impact your choice to listen to Faith Radio will have on someone, whether it's giving someone a ride, inviting them into your home, or even playing Faith Radio at your business. You help the relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching of Faith Radio reach far and wide. We recently heard an encouraging story from a listener about connecting with a fellow Faith Radio listener.
I was in a gift shop looking for a quick gift, and this lady that worked in there was just kind of filling in. She's on the highway 5 days a week. I said, oh, you have Faith Radio on your radio. She said, oh, I couldn't live without Faith Radio. It keeps me calm. The only way she could handle that road rage 5 days a week was listening every morning and every night going home from work. So I thought you'd enjoy hearing her testimony.
Share your story with us by calling the toll-free Faith Line. Leave us a message anytime at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484.
Holly Melton is back on our show. We're very excited to have her back on. She's an author and speaker, been a ministry coach on staff for Campus Crusade for Christ. That was what they used to call it. They just call it Crew now. And she's been a national director for 8 years, and she's been on the road. Her passport has been stamped, let me tell you, many times. She's been traveling to 29 countries coaching teams, and she's got a passion to help people just walk through conflict biblically and train others how they can just grow to understand and how they can have spiritual conversations with everyone around them. She does it so well and is such an interesting guest. Holly, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, the last time you were on the show, I think you had like a migraine headache right up until 30 seconds before you came on. And I did hear the story in retrospect that God just showed up and gave you this moment of grace at the time you needed it.
Exactly. I was almost going to have to cancel, even though it was going to be live. And literally, right beforehand, he took it completely away. So that was just a blessing from the Lord. Yes.
Yeah, here's a rule. Never cancel on me, okay? Makes me nervous to be without a guest, because I love when my guests do all the talking. So I want to talk about discipleship with you, because this is what makes your heart beat. And I want to talk about spiritual multiplication today.
Great.
So what,
I would love to talk about that.
I want to get into it. So what if we each begin just discipling others? What's going to happen?
We would reach the world within our lifetime.
Okay.
if we understood what discipleship could look like and intentionally invest in other people, we truly would be able to reach the world with the gospel within quite a few, just a few years. It would be amazing.
So what if I don't know if I'm qualified to do this? What would you say to me?
I would say that if you've decided to put your faith in Jesus and you're wanting to become more like him, then you can learn how to disciple others. One thing we're seeing as I travel around the world is some people are coming to Christ so quickly, especially in closed countries, that I disciple a new believer and then I say, here, take this information and now this week go train 5 or 6 other people. It's like, wow. We have to empower people that the word of God is going to go forth, even if someone doesn't fully understand it yet. And so to believe that God can use any of us, and that's not one of the gifts of the Spirit either, right? Like it doesn't say, and you have the gift of discipling, because we're all called to do it. We don't have to be teachers or evangelists. Every person can learn how to disciple.
And it's wonderful to hear that, you know, you're in this foreign country. What did you call that? Call it a closed?
A closed country would mean a country that they're not allowed to have an open faith in Jesus. Yeah.
Right. So there's a fervor for the gospel that's just insatiable to them, which maybe you don't see quite as much in America.
That's true. I think sometimes part of the reason we do discipleship in America is so that we would actually excel still more as the Christian church in America to actually want to become like Jesus. I think in closed countries, they are already having fully surrendered lives, ready to risk anything for the gospel. And so sometimes I feel like we need a little more discipleship than them.
Mm-hmm. And Holly, I know one of the things that you have on your heart is you want to be available to be discipling people, and you want, you always, I think you're always open to what God is going to put in front of you, who he's going to introduce you to. I mean, as a matter of fact, just a story about the last time you were on my show where you almost canceled coming on my show.
Yes.
I think the same day I had another guest on who contacted you. Tell that little story and leave names out.
Did. Yes, I had a guest on, and she heard me speak about having served in a closed country. And so she found a way to contact me afterwards, and she said, can you teach me? How would I share the gospel in a closed country? And I trained her on the phone, having never met her. She went into a closed country just a month after that, got to share the gospel, came back, and she said, I want to learn how to really be discipled so that when I go back to my country, I can effectively share the gospel and disciple others. So I've been discipling her since the last time we were on the radio, and I've never met her face to face. Who knows if I ever will on this side of heaven, but every other week for 1 hour during my kids' nap time, I'm discipling her to prepare her to go back to her country.
Oh, that's amazing. So you've got a couple of youngsters?
Yes, I have a 4- and a 5-year-old.
Okay, so this is busy. Now, you've got what stage of life are you in? And you've still got time to be discipling, which is going to be an encouragement to all of us.
Yes, you know, I think in all life stages, we have to be creative what it looks like. It's definitely different than when I discipled women when I was single or not yet having kids. I make sure that discipleship's a priority and that I will be investing at least 2 people about every 6 months, and they know that I will, it's for a certain amount of time. And with one person, it's discipleship while my kids are playing around our legs, but yet it's still intentional. And then the other ones during nap times, you know, where I can focus more on the phone. So it's figuring out, how do you do it in this life stage, you know?
Now, Holly, there's a lot of people that ask this question, what is the will of God for my life? You've probably heard that many, many times from people because they come to you for counsel or wisdom or discipleship. And that question comes up all the time, doesn't it?
Yes. I think it's a question we all want to know if we actually value God's opinion on our life, for sure.
So I want to say you've actually done some work on this. And did you not write a little Bible study on the will of God?
Yes. I felt like since I'm working a lot with young people that often want to know, what do I do next? You know, who do I marry? What's my job supposed to be? All these questions. I really wanted to study every single verse on the will of God. So I created a 10-week Bible study that has every single verse in the Bible on God's will so that a person can study it on their own. But also I'm now going around, and this is the main thing I'm speaking on to young audiences, for them to really have confidence in knowing that they can know the will of God for their life.
Wow. So let's talk about maybe some of the things that God talks about in the Bible for us to focus on when we're trying to find out what the will of God is in our life.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, but if I were to choose to put it in one meaty sentence about the will of God, I'd say this, that God's will for us is to be, one, spirit-filled, so that we can continually grow in, one, our sanctification, which means becoming more like Jesus, and in our effectiveness as sent ones, or going out and sharing Jesus with others to make his name great. So pretty much for us to become like Jesus and make Jesus known, which is God's will, we also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That pretty much encapsulates God's will for us. And so, you know, when you study the Word of God, sanctification or becoming more like Jesus, that the verse that clearly shows that is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 5. It says, "For this is the will of God." I mean, you can't get much clearer than that, right, Bill?
Yeah.
"For this is the will of God, your sanctification," and explains what it is. It says that you would abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor. And so it's us figuring out, how can I become more holy and more like Jesus in the things that I'm participating in? And then the second one, sent ones, intentionally sharing about Jesus. We see in the Bible throughout that he doesn't want just missionaries or pastors or people in vocational ministry to be sent ones. We all have to care about the lost around us. And I love what even Jesus modeled in John 4, 34. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." It wasn't Jesus's work. It was God the Father's work. He says, "Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest," which means people's souls are ripe for the gospel. He says, "Look, I tell you," he's talking to his disciples, all of us, "lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life." And so it just reminds us, like, the harvest is around us and he wants all of us to engage in it. And then finally, the spirit-filled life of just meaning the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome our flesh and our temptations. And he gives us the wisdom when we're engaging with people that don't yet know Jesus. And so Ephesians 5, 17 through 18, I love it. It says, "Don't be foolish." And I don't think any of us want to be foolish. It says, "But understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." That God's will is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bill, have you ever heard the analogy of the difference of being drunk and being filled with the Spirit? Have you ever heard that analogy?
Tell me.
Okay. So the one thing I like is, you know, people say, "Well, what does that mean?" My understanding is the Holy Spirit's already inside of us, but he's like a gentleman. And so he doesn't like force himself upon us to be powerful around people when it comes to sharing the gospel or bold. But when we get drunk, you think about it, someone has to keep on drinking. They have to keep on taking that substance in order to kind of experience that drunkenness. And so with the Holy Spirit, it's not that we're getting drunk on the Holy Spirit, but this idea of continually inviting him to empower us so that we have his strength to live the life that God wants us to live. So I continually remind myself every day, Holy Spirit, please empower me, that my mouth would be used for you, that my hands would be used for you, for your glory. And so I think often we forget the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's one of my other favorite things to talk about is how quickly do we forget that we don't have to live this life on our own to do what God wants us to do and to be who God wants us to be.
Full to overflowing with the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Holly Melton is my guest. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, lots more with her. Be back in 90 seconds. Holly Melton is my guest. She's an author, speaker, and ministry coach. She's on staff with CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. Holly, there is some, I think, some kind of interesting Barna statistics about, and you're going to need to help me connect the dots on this, how many spiritual conversations will actually lead to gospel conversations that will lead to actual professions of faith.
Yes. I mean, this is so encouraging to know that people are listening to the gospel, that if we take the step of faith to share and engage in a spiritual conversation, which means just bridging the idea of God and spiritual things about three times, that every three times we engage in a spiritual conversation, that person will be responsive to actually want to hear more about the gospel and about Jesus. And I think sometimes we're afraid to take that step to actually bring up Jesus and the gospel, but one in three times people are wanting to hear the gospel. And then what we're seeing is as we get into gospel conversations with people, about one in three gospel conversations are leading to decisions, new decisions for people that want to follow Jesus. And so that should really encourage us to keep taking steps of faith, again, alongside the Holy Spirit, as he guides us of how to have these conversations with others.
Yeah. So Holly, maybe we can walk through this a little bit. What would it sound like? Maybe you're even talking to someone a little bit younger, the younger generation. I know they maybe might be a little bit of a tougher sell.
Yes, I think that we want to first engage with them and get them curious about spiritual things. So normally I begin a conversation with someone and just say, hey, when you think about holistically the things that make a wholesome life, we think about our physical, our relational, our emotional, our spiritual. And I said, which one do you think is strongest in your life? Which one do you think is the weakest, you know?
Nice.
And then I could start asking them, a lot of times they're going to say spiritual. I'd say, well, I'm curious to know, how would you rate your spiritual life? Would you say it's a very healthy spiritual life or very unhealthy spiritual life? Why would you say that? And have them engage in that. And that could mean believing God or not, right? It doesn't matter, but you're getting them to talk and open up. And then I often like to ask, do you believe that there's a higher power? And if so, what do you hope he or she would be like? And what's interesting is when you take the word God out at first, it gives them freedom to think about that. And we know biblically that says that people know in their heart that there's a God. So I'm going to take that as truth because the Bible says that. And what I've always seen, it doesn't matter what culture around the world, is they are going to list attributes that are true about the God of the Bible. When they say, oh, I would hope he would be loving. I would hope that he would be merciful. I would hope that he has justice and things like that. And then they do wrestle because they see a disconnect in the world. Well, how could a loving God allow these things to happen, right? And so I then am able to bridge, what if there was a higher power that had these qualities that you are desiring? Would you want to learn more about that higher power? And just see if they say yes or no. They might be like, no, I don't really care. Then you move on. It's not our job to push it, right? But if they're interested, then I'm able to say how I've explored my own spiritual journey in studying what does the Bible say about the God of the Bible. And I've been very intrigued, even though I've been a Christian since I'm young, I talk about it because I'm still on this journey, right? And I'll say, I've been very intrigued to see how the God of the Bible fits our deepest desires of what we hope a higher power would be. Would you like to know more about the God of the Bible? So what I'm always doing before I get any further is asking permission. Do you want to talk about a God? Do you want to talk about the God of the Bible? Would you be willing to hear my understanding of Jesus? So at any moment, they can stop the spiritual conversation because that's not my job to force it. But if they're curious and interested, then I continue on. And that gives me confidence and boldness, but I also, they feel respected and valued in the conversation.
I know this is a conversation we previously had, but you did that with someone who claimed she was a vampire.
Yes, I did.
So if you can do that with someone who claims to be a vampire, we should be able to do it with just about anybody else. All right, Holly, did Jesus mean our literal neighbors when he said, love your neighbor?
You know, I would propose to us that in our individualistic society here in America, that Jesus wants us to actually reach our literal neighbors. That it's not just, I think sometimes we've gone global on that verse and say, oh, everybody we run into is our neighbor and we're supposed to love everybody. But sometimes an everybody challenge is no one's challenge. But what if we, who claim to be followers of Jesus, said, I will get to know my literal neighbors? How many more people would be brought into a loving, caring community where they can grow and learn about spiritual things in a safe environment? And so I really think Jesus wants us to truly consider what would it look like to, if we actually loved our physical neighbors around us?
You know, it's, we always talk about what is in our circle and who is in our circle of influence. And certainly our neighborhood is going to be one of those places.
Yes.
And so there's a prime harvest field right in our literal backyard.
Yes. And I think it's figuring out, especially if you've lived in your neighborhood for a while and you haven't really met the neighbor next door or behind you or even two doors down. Okay, how do I push through the awkwardness of the fact I've never met them or know their name, or I only know their name, but I've never invited them over to my house, and say, I'm going to trust for an opportunity. And what you start to do is you start to pray, God, give me an opportunity. When my husband and I just moved here, we now live in Phoenix, Arizona. We moved here in September, and I just started praying for our neighbors. And in 3 weeks, I had 10 names with 10 phone numbers where I can now invite them over for dinner and get to know them and their family. And so I think it does start with just praying and saying, help them to come out of their house. We had a yard sale. We didn't sell more than $5, but I met four more neighbors and they stopped and we got to know each other. So even thinking, how could I get outside my house in my front yard to even have a chance to meet my neighbors as the Spirit leads is a great way to start getting to know your neighbors.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think what sold for $5.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't remember. Some kids' toys. I had to give the money to my kids.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what's ahead for you now that you're in Phoenix? What's going on as you head into the summer? Because, you know, that's very hot.
Yes, it is hot. I travel a lot this summer, so I won't be here the whole time. But yeah, this summer I'm helping with our teams that are being sent overseas. So our college students that are trusting God to go overseas. So I'll be doing their briefings before they go and their debriefings when they come back in country. So that's a lot. I'll be preparing our students before they go on their summer missions.
Yeah. Well, Holly, every time this be our second time you've been on the show, that you always have this kind of infectious energy that you want to get things done for the Lord. You want to make sure you're not letting anything slip through the cracks. You're not watching, you're not looking the other way. You're trying to become part of the community and the neighborhoods, and you're trying to reach people on the other side of the world. And it's inspirational.
Thank you. We have a short life, right? So we better be intentional with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're awfully busy with two kids and you've just moved. So there's been lots of changes in your life. But that doesn't faze you at all, does it?
Well, every day is a day to say, God, what do you have for me today, right? And we see what that is, and we walk in it. And no day should be mundane if we're asking God to lead us. I think that's really key. So, and I'm not going to make an excuse that I just moved or I have two little kids. It's saying, God, what do you have for me now, right? And we walk in it.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn more about Holly, go to hollymelton.org, hollymelton.org. Holly, I appreciate you coming back on, and thank you, and good luck this summer with everything you got going with the move and the new neighbors and everything else. God's got you right where he wants you, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Thank you, Bill, for having me.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Holly Melton's been my guest, and again, her website is hollymelton, melton.org, and you can go check that out if you like. We're going to take a little break, and then we come back with Stacy Therine. We're going to enjoy a discussion about motherhood coming up on the weekend of Mother's Day on Sunday.
WSP.edu/startnow.
Welcome back to the show. We've got a huge weekend coming up because everybody and their brother knows what weekend this is and what Sunday includes, which is Mother's Day. And boy, I tell you, mothers are ones of a kind. And don't we love them? And don't we cherish them? And for many, we miss them. So I've got Stacy Therine in studio right now. She's written a couple of books. One book she wrote called Daily Wisdom for the Mommy-to-Be, Everyday Encouragement During Your Pregnancy. She also just had a new book that came out today called 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me. This is encouraging reading for parents and kids. And it's a 3-minute devotion for Mommy and Me, for you and your little ones, ages 3 to 7. And it's beautifully illustrated. I have to say that the illustrations are spectacular. And if you want to develop the important habit of learning about God and His Word with your little ones, this would be a book to pick up. These are very kid-friendly devotions, and they just take a few short minutes. And it can be kind of that part of that nighttime ritual or morning ritual with your kids, or anytime ritual when you just need to spend some time with them and you need to try to start speaking to them about God's Word. It's a great place to meet with them. And Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me here, Bill.
You are so welcome. And mothers-to-be, let's just get right to the truth of all this. You're pregnant right now, aren't you?
I am.
You are a mother-to-be.
With baby number 3.
Congratulations. Tell me about
you.
1 and 2.
All right. Number 1, my daughter, Brianna. She was born very appropriately on Labor Day of 2012. And to date, she's been my longest labor. And then my son, Evan, he is about to turn 3 this month, actually. And he's been my shortest labor. So we will see what number 3
yeah,
brings.
Yeah, maybe split the difference between, you know, the first and the second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you know the baby, the sex of the baby yet?
No, not yet.
Do you guys like to be surprised?
Find out. We were surprised with Brianna.
Okay.
With my son, we sort of found out.
Okay.
And then with this one, we will find out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And then you can start, will you name this baby well in advance of it being born and start praying for that baby specifically by name?
Exactly. We will start praying for the name and the middle name. And
if it's a boy, William is not a bad name. I honestly, I'm just going to be as bold as I know how to be right now.
You know, I have crossed paths with a lot of Williams and Bills.
And you can call him Bill.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have to stick. Billy is kind of a cute little name growing up.
Mm-hmm. Or Will.
Or Will. So... Can we just get a commitment on that right now?
Well, I don't see a contract here that I have to sign.
Well, I believe we can produce one.
Okay, well.
So let's get your husband on the line just so we can get the attorney and make sure we get this thing wrapped up between now and the end of our time. Anyway, you got interested in writing some books.
Yeah.
Tell me why you started wanting to do this.
You know, I really felt like God's hand was leading me to be writing, and it started a while back, actually, I want to say about 2011, before we got pregnant with my daughter. I actually went through a health diagnosis. I have a thyroid autoimmune condition, and I've actually been able to talk on air here at Faith Radio with Ryan Thomas of On the Road about that back in January of 2016. And it's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds made up.
It's not. It affects millions of people.
I know. I'm just saying it just
women.
Sounds kind of a name that doesn't sound like it's something about the thyroid.
Yeah. Well, and I had to go through surgery. And
oh, wow.
I take thyroid medication.
I'm not making fun of this at all, just so you know.
Yeah.
This is a very serious thing. So
And
you surprised me with that name.
It can affect pregnancy. And so I was, you know, going through this health diagnosis. And at the same time, I was also wrestling, Bill, with my own insecurities of the thought of becoming a mom and what that would bring because of the fact that I just didn't feel like I had very adequate modeling for what it meant to be a good mom growing up. And so I was faced with this health diagnosis. This, again, was back in 2011. We also, in a very short period of time, lost 5 family members.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That's and so my daughter's
terribly tragic.
Middle name is Grace.
Uh-huh.
And Grace is also a representation of the number 5. And so we felt very led to give her that middle name.
Wow.
After all of that. But, you know, when you come face to face with a health diagnosis and you're also told, you know, we're going to have to monitor this when you're pregnant because it can affect pregnancy. It can even affect your ability to get pregnant. It was a very humbling moment for me. It was kind of like, okay, God, I've been really insecure about motherhood for quite a while. I've been through counseling and therapy to talk through and work through some very traumatic experiences. But God, if there's a blessing here, I don't want to miss it. we don't want to miss it as parents. And I was actually talking with Rebecca earlier about how I think we do get to appreciate God's love even at a greater scale when we become parents. It is like a whole new level once that baby comes out of that transformation and that sanctification process. And so that was really kind of the birth, the start of wanting to write.
Okay. So you wanted to start by writing Daily Wisdom for the Mommy-to-Be. Was this autobiographical? Were you trying to write little devotions? Were you in a journal writing for yourself? What were you doing?
That's a great question, Bill. I actually originally had been working on a different book proposal in manuscript. And then felt like God was calling me to lay it down and to let it go. Let it die, if you will. And I did. And that was back in the fall of 2015. And then it was the fall of 2016. So my son at that time was about 4 or 5 months old. And I had worked on a collaborative devotional project with Barbara Books. And so was establishing some connection with them. And there was discussion, back and forth discussion. And this project presented itself. And so then like a year later, after I had laid down that whole other idea and scrapped it, God raised up the Mommy-to-Be. And so this really originally wasn't my idea. God actually gave it back.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, Mommy and Me, 3-minute devotions. This is how beautifully this is laid out. It's written in mom's point of view, and it offers kind of a simple formula for parents and kids to spend time together. In minute one, you hear a Bible verse. In minute two, you get a devotional thought. And in minute three, a prayer that's perfect to jumpstart a child's conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
So you are teaching your child at the end of this 3-minute devotional to be talking to God.
That's right.
You're not really necessarily saying pray, but talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love the word talk.
Yeah, I got to work on that project. I started working on that a little over a year ago. And at that time, my daughter was about a month out from finishing up preschool. So we were getting ready to have kindergartner in the house. And I also, I work very part-time at our local YMCA in the aquatics department. I teach swim lessons. And last year, for whatever reason, I was kind of focusing on preschoolers. This year, I'm not. But I was last year. And so I felt like God was kind of preparing me to work on that book and have these conversations. And as I was progressing with the manuscript last summer, I actually talked about it with my daughter. And I was like, sweetheart, mommy's working on this book. It's going to have illustrations. I need your help. I would like to read these to you. And
test marketing at home.
She's
not a bad idea.
She was super helpful. She's like, mommy, that word's too big.
Yeah.
Or mommy, I don't get it. Or mommy, I get it.
Wow. That's
and
impressive.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Stacey Therene is in my studio. We're having a nice conversation about a couple of books she has written. One is called The 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me. We're going to learn more about that in just a minute. We'll take a short break. Stacey has offered 5 books to give away, The 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me. They're encouraging readings for parents and kids. You're going to love one of these. If you want to get into the drawing to win, send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com, and just put in the subject line, Mommy. And we'll draw right away. Welcome back to the show. I have Stacey Therene in studio. She's written a couple books. One that just came out last week is called 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me, and one is called Daily Wisdom for the Mommy-to-Be. And Stacey, I'd love for you to walk us through one of the Mommy and Me devotions, one of these 3-Minute Devotions. Pick one out and give us a sample of what it's like. I'll play the role of the 3-year-old child. How about that?
Sure, sounds good.
This will be good.
I think you will do just fine.
You don't know that. You don't know that. I better play the 4-year-old, not
okay,
the 3-year-old.
Okay, well, this is for 3 to 7-year-olds.
Okay, so, I'm in that range.
Yeah, you could be the...
Yeah.
You want to be the 7-year-old? Go right ahead.
I think I'll take 7.
All right.
I'll take 7. Yeah, because now I can be a little bit more verbal.
So this one is found on pages 12 and 13.
Okay.
So this one has an illustration that accompanies it. We can sing songs to God. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasing and praise is right. Psalm 147:1. Talk about it. What are some creative ways that you like to show gratitude and thankfulness towards others?
I like to always say thank you, especially when they give me ice cream and you know, buy me gifts.
Read about it. It makes my heart so happy when you express your joy for life and others through your words, your hands, and your feet. God also loves it when we express just how much we adore him through our voices, hands, and feet. The Bible says that we can do so by singing songs to him. So let's get up and give it a try together, Bill.
No, are we singing together now?
All right, let's
do it. What are we singing? What are we singing?
I don't know.
I might need your help here, Rebecca, because you know I can't sing. So, all right.
This got really fun really fast.
Oh, I know it
did.
So what song are we singing now?
I don't know.
You guys have at it.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Pray about it. Dear God, thank you for blessing us with so many fun and creative ways to show our thanks to you and others. May we continue to sing songs of praise with our lips, in and through our actions. Amen.
Nice. Now can I play video games?
Go for it.
Okay, good.
You got 10 minutes before you go to bed.
Nice, nice. Now, this has roughly how many devotions in it? Is this...
There are 160 devotions
wow,
in the book.
Wow, 160. Okay,
and 30 of them feature illustrations.
Okay, so it's going to be a nice running, you know, two, three times a year, you're going to be able to dig into this little well and have a recurring time of prayer and a lesson in Bible verse. You can do this every day.
That's right. And there's no particular order. You can jump around throughout the book. You can go in order, whatever suits your fancy.
So let's talk a little bit about the Daily Wisdom for the Mommy-to-Be. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful book, and it feels like it's, again, nicely laid out. You've got this ability to lay these books out in an attractive way. And talk about this book as well.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I started working on that project when my son was about 4 or 5 months old. Mm-hmm. So that pregnancy with him was still very fresh in my mind. And so it is a 40-week daily devotional. So it's supposed to be one devotion every day of your pregnancy,
okay,
you know, plus or minus a week or two here or there. And it opens up with a scripture verse. And then there is stuff that is written to help expand upon the scripture verse. Sometimes it's somewhat fictional. Sometimes it's trying to explain the verse in greater detail, so a teaching moment, if you will. And then it ends with a prayer. There's also some in there that are journalistic in style, so asking the mom to take some time to reflect on the pregnancy, to pray for her baby, to pray for the name of the child. There are also some promptings in there to help guide mom to, you know, be aware and mindful of doing things for themselves, you know, some self-care, and also obviously connecting with God at a deeper level too. Not just connecting with the God that has created this child in them, but also being mindful of the fact that God loves them as a mom and created them too.
So I'm in looking in week 9, just as an example, and it says, it quotes Galatians 1:15-16, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Paul obviously lived a different lifestyle before he fully committed to Christ. So, you're saying the baby inside of you will one day be presented with the opportunity to consider living for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, take some time to pray for your baby and for the day that they come to hear about the saving message of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And then you pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I pray that this baby inside of me will one day hear the gospel message, be captivated by you, and receive you into their life. That's lovely. It's a very nice kind of a daily discipline throughout your whole pregnancy.
And each week is broken down into kind of these words or themes, if you will. So some of them, for example, are like called, redeemed. I seem to remember near the end of the book, like weaned is one of the weekly themes. Another one is like baptized. So like the baptized one allows the mom to be focusing on their baptism as well as to be thinking about like how would they like their child to be baptized.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a difficult question because there are many mothers that you know can lose a baby through a miscarriage. And does the book address that at all, or are we just trying to get through 40 weeks of pregnancy?
Sure.
Hoping all goes well.
It tries to.
Okay.
It tries to address the fact that, especially in the beginning, that for some women,
yes,
this can be a hard thing to conceive. There can be challenges. There can be anxieties along the way. No pregnancy is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And every pregnancy has their ups and downs, for sure.
And then as we are just on the cusp of Mother's Day, and it's a wonderful time, I think every day is Mother's Day, right?
Right.
I mean,
sure,
what day
Bill?
Isn't Mother's Day? You know, I don't know why we just pick out one day a year. It should be every day, because mothers are ones of a kinds, and they're to be celebrated, and they're to be loved and thought of and cared for and called, and take every minute possible you have to go be with your mom. And there's also a lot of broken hearts out there, women that aren't able to be mothers, or maybe they're single and they want to be married and be mothers. Any words of encouragement for them?
Yeah, you know, I can also definitely relate to, as I said earlier, women who want to be moms, but feel like there's been challenges along the way with their own maternal relationships and examples. And as I've expressed, you know, I've done a lot of work through some Christian counseling and therapy to kind of help process that and to prayerfully set a better example and a better road that could be followed. And I think we all have our stories, and it's not an easy road as a mom.
Yeah. Hardest job out there, isn't it?
I talked with Ryan Thomas about a year ago, and I remember saying to him, you know, motherhood is a ministry. It is one of the highest callings and ministries that a woman will ever have in their life. And it's beautiful and it's ugly. And there's lots of women that just can really struggle this time of the year. And there can also be a lot of great joy and great celebration. And my biggest encouragement for those women, as I'm trying to find kind of just the right words to be able to say, is just leaning into your faith, leaning into God's word. When my daughter was about 6 months old, that's when I really was like, okay, God, I've got to get into your word every single day.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got a mother-to-mother question here coming up.
Well, as a mom and kind of learning the ropes in this whole thing, I've been really hanging on the words that you're saying, Stacey. So thank you for bringing this type of encouragement. And in that newborn phase, whether you're, you know, just becoming a mom or maybe you're revisiting this again and you want to be able to comfort new moms, it can feel like there's just, you're not enough. Or there's not enough time, or there's always something more to do, someone more to be, you could have done a better job, or you need to do more. Just that there's a lot of stress and pressure, and that doesn't feel like that's where God wants his women to be. Especially not to encourage their own children, because you need to be strong for them.
Right.
So maybe some words of support, encouragement for me and for other women that just struggle with that feeling of not being enough or being stressed out or like we have to do and be more.
Yeah. I think, again, to expand upon what I was saying about being in God's word every day, you know, I made that commitment when my daughter was about 6 months old. At that time, we were living out in Massachusetts, not here in Minnesota. and the church we were going to, Mount Hope Christian Center in Burlington, Massachusetts. The two lead pastors really just spoke life that January of 2013 into the congregation about the importance of reading God's Word every day. And we took it seriously. We were new parents. And I think that's a foundation, you know, with humbling ourselves and having God's Word hidden in our hearts. And then also, you know, on those days when we don't feel like we're adequate enough, when we make those mistakes, when we lose it, repairing the relationships is so important. Being able to say we're sorry, you know, being able to model to our children, I made a mistake and mommy needs your forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? You know, that can just go a long way. And then for them to be able to see that, like between my husband and I too. And I think that lets them know it's okay, like to be real and that we can be safe and that we can be vulnerable, you know, because we always get the best and the worst of the kids, mainly because I think that they know deep down subconsciously that they are loved unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Stacy, thank you so much for coming into the studio. What's the best way to get a hold of either one of your books?
Lately, Amazon is a great place. Awesome. Barber Books is the publisher, so Barber Books as
awesome,
well.
What an awesome gift for an expecting mother.
Yeah.
You can get your hands on either the 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me, which is her new book, encouraging reading for parents and kids, or Daily Wisdom for the Mommy-to-Be, in everyday encouragement during your pregnancy. Stacy Therene has been my guest. It's just been a delight having her in studio. She spells her last name T-H-U-R-E-E-N. And here's something kind of fun. Stacy has offered 5 books to give away, the 3-Minute Devotions for Mommy and Me. They're encouraging readings for parents and kids. You're going to love one of these. If you want to get in the drawing to win, send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com, and just put in the subject line, Mommy, and we'll draw right away. Stacy, thanks again. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. How can the gospel bring light and hope to those struggling with an eating disorder? Lee Wolf Bloom has been there, and she shares a part of her recovery story.
Oftentimes, it takes falling down and getting back up, falling down and getting back up until recovery is really going to stick. So it took a while, but I knew, you know, the whole verse about if you have a mustard seed of faith. I knew if I had, you know, just a little bit of hope that maybe tomorrow I'd have even a more bit of hope. I knew each day the more choices I made towards life and the less choices I made towards the eating disorder would be a winning game. And so I just, every day I'd kind of play this game with myself, like, okay, how many choices have I made towards life today? And that meant like getting up and talking about what's going on, eating my meals, when I felt emotions, expressing them. And I knew those were goals towards life versus numbing out, which would take me back down the other road.
Go to myfaithradio.com and search for Lee Wolf Bloom for more.
Faith Radio is a media ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul, and Faith Radio is growing. As Faith Radio reaches new areas of our nation and the world, we continue to work towards our goal of leading people to Christ and nurturing believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. If you've been encouraged through Faith Radio, let us know. You can find out more about connecting with us on our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
That wraps up our show for the week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for supporting Faith Radio. I hope you have a great weekend. That's all until Monday, so let's ring the bell. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.